There's no stopping us right now. I feel
welcome to Act Local, marketing for small business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Kaylin helps concerned, confused, and even clueless small business entrepreneurs market simply, safely, and successfully. Join Kaylin for some Monday morning marketing madness that will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. Whether you need help with online media, social media, video, or mobile marketing for your local business, this marketing black belt will guide you into the 21st century with easy tips, tricks, and techniques that get your local business seen and heard. And now, here is your host, third degree black belt, speaker, seminar leader, engineer, and internet marketing entrepreneur, Kaylin Amadio.
Good morning. Good morning. I am Kaylin Amadio, and you're listening to Act Local Marketing for Small Business, coming to you live this Monday morning from New York. And welcome to Act Local, and thank you for taking the time to be with me this morning. Every week, as part of my ongoing effort to help you build your business and make more money, I like to bring you actionable knowledge that'll help you accomplish more, and I call it today's takeaway. I will share at least one action item you could take now, today, right after the show. Promise me you won't do it during the show. You need to pay attention during the show. But if you take this action today, it'll help you reach greater success with your business. My guest today is a woman who works with business owners to help them find the balance between online marketing and social media and offline face-to-face networking. She has a lot of experience and insight for us today, so stay tuned for that. You know, I was reading a great article this past weekend by a woman named Courtney Ramirez, and she had written it for MaximizeSocialBusiness.com, and the name of the article is How to Create a Social Media Style Guide for Your Brand. And I want to share some of these concepts with you, because I think one of the hurdles local businesses face in social media, in using social media, is not firmly establishing their voice. And to do that, you need to first figure out your communication style. We all differ in how we communicate, and it's hardwired into us. And it's affected by, well, several things. It's affected by our preferred methods of learning, which is also hardwired into you. Perhaps how much of an introvert or an extrovert you may be. There are a lot of different factors. So without bogging you down in the details that I love sifting through because they absolutely fascinate me, let me give you the salient points that'll help you accomplish today's takeaway. Okay? So here we go. Your communication style is simply the way you share information through language, both written and spoken. So let me start by stating the obvious. Men and women communicate differently. Duh, right? There have been whole books written on this. But not all men fit their communication prototype, and not all women fit their communication prototype. And while noting whether you are speaking to men or women may be helpful in choosing your words, I don't believe you should get caught up in it in general, unless you have niched down so far that you know your ideal prospects all fit the same mold and respond to a certain style. Unless they're really, really recognizable, I wouldn't sweat it too much. But there are certain words that resonate with men more than women and vice versa. Now, there have been many studies done on communication, but in general, it seems that there are two continuums that cross. One is assertiveness, and the other is, I'm going to call it aggressiveness. So the assertiveness scale runs from someone who's highly assertive to someone who's highly cooperative. And the cross scale runs from aggressive to compliant or passive, let's say. Another way to think of them is being direct versus indirect, and to be competitive versus collegial. So everyone will fall somewhere on these two continuums, and where you fall will dictate your communication style. there are plenty of graphical illustrations of these traits. So you can check out where you fall. If you were to go Google the term communication styles and study the various images that come up, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Now, let me get back to the article I mentioned and creating a social media style for your business. It's important to develop a style guide because you want to be able, you want to be able to hire other people to create a team, and that team needs to reflect your brand's style. You don't want other employees to communicate in social media on behalf of your business in their own personal communication styles because that will really confuse your audience. It's not going to sound like your brand. You've got to treat your business as an entity on its own with its own voice and communication style. And that style may very well be a complete reflection of you, and that's fine. Think Martha Stewart, for example. Her voice is her own, but it also belongs to her brand. Her brand sounds like her as a person. But I guarantee you that Martha Stewart has a team of content creators. She's not writing all the content for her brand, but the voice of the brand is set and can be duplicated by other team members. Then again, it may be advantageous for your business style to be different from your own personal communication style in several ways. And it's going to depend on who your ideal prospects are, what kind of business you're in, what your style is. There'll be several things that you'll want to take into account, but be aware of that. Now, I promised to give you an action step that you could take today to use this information in your business. I call it today's takeaway, and here it is. In developing the voice of your brand or your business, I want you to first identify who your target audience is. Who are you speaking to? And don't tell me anybody who needs me, because that's bullshit. You need to be more specific than that. You must have an ideal client type, and you're going to develop a persona for them. And you can have more than one. It doesn't have to be just one client type. You might have two or three or four, but you need to give them a name, an occupation, hobbies, are they male or female, what age are they? Develop them in the same way that a novelist does a character from a book. Make them real and representative of whom you want to speak to in your business. Then figure out who you are. Go ahead and Google those communication styles I talked about and find out where you fall on the matrix. Then decide if your persona should be the brand's persona. And if the brand requires a different personality, then create it. Follow those same steps that you did to identify your ideal client and create a personality for your business. This will help you develop the right voice for your business. And remember, everything that happens in social media is about communication. I say this every week. So your business needs a persona in order to communicate one-on-one. Then you'll be able to develop the voice and how your business interacts on social media. Now, there's a gentleman from Zendesk, and I'm hoping I'm going to pronounce his name right. He's got a difficult last name for me. It's Matthew Latkovitz, I believe. And he defined five different persona types for Mashable.com that are common in social media, and maybe one of them is right for you. His five are the game show host, which he says is good for big companies with big pockets, speaking from the corporate perspective. The friendly neighborhood service rep, who engages on a personal level, listens, and mostly is there to solve customer service issues. The third type he mentions is the beehive, which is the we're all in this together, the collaborative approach. The fourth is the community builder, who is always an acquaintance, but never actually a friend. And finally, the friend persona, this last one being particularly good for local businesses who are extending their face-to-face relationship with every interaction they have because it's all personal and they know many of their clients so well. So take these steps, figure out who your client is as an individual, what you and your business sound like, and you will be on your way toward creating a social media style guide in a voice that will extend your relationships with existing customers and attract more ideal prospects to your business. And that is today's takeaway. If you have any questions, of course, as always, send me an email to actlocal@kaylinamadio.com. All right. Before I bring my guest on today, I need you to get connected and communicate with me. So as I do every week, I'll leave it to you to choose your favorite method, and you can find links to all of the very common social media platforms and my email address, as I mentioned, on the Act Local show page at rockstarradionetwork.com. And if you're hearing me for the first time, I'll remind you that my favorite social media platform is Twitter. You can find me there practically every day. And I'm also spending a lot of time on Google Plus, where you can have longer conversations than 140 characters, which is always nice. So look me up in either of those places. And if you want to continue a conversation that you've heard here on Act Local, please use the hashtag #ActLocalMarketing. Remember, hashtag is the pound sign on Twitter, and it's been adopted on other social media platforms like Google Plus and even now Facebook to help us categorize our conversations. And don't forget to tell your friends, social media followers, networking buddies, people in your circles about Act Local. We're here each Monday at 9 a.m. We offer an hour's worth of free advice and great guests, and it helps you move your way into this trillion-dollar marketing movement that is small business in the United States. And every time you download one of these podcasts and you leave us a review on iTunes, you are helping us reach more and more small business owners across the country and hopefully across the world, enter this trillion-dollar marketing movement, and really move that needle, create more business, more growth by using all of these digital tools that they have available to them, expanding their digital footprint, and making the best use of the technology that I love so much and that I know my guest loves too, when you hear from her in our next segment, so that we can really help you grow your business. When we get back, I'm going to introduce you to another radio show host here in the TogiNet family. I'm going to introduce you to Lori Hurley. She does a show here. I'm going to find out from her when we come on what time her show is on, and I'm going to introduce you to her, and we're going to talk about social media and reputation management and lots more right here on Act Local Marketing. I feel so close to you right
now. Act Local is the place where busy entrepreneurs like you gain more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives them the power to bring their business to the next level. Kaylin returns after a short break with more strategies and techniques to develop your inner warrior. We'll be right back.
At iKaylin.com, we believe effective marketing requires knowledge of all the systems and tools available. Good marketing takes planning and strategy. The if you build it, they will come approach only works in Hollywood movies, not in the real world, and absolutely not online. You are a real-world business owner, and you need real-world business solutions for your marketing. It doesn't have to be difficult or time-consuming to work. Our Five Secrets strategy allows us to see what your business needs to prosper in the here and now, 21st century world of massive communication challenges. At iKaylin.com, we craft custom strategies for every client that are not too big and not too little, but just right for you, your business, and your budget. Visit iKaylin.com/secrets. For a free report that shares what the five secrets to marketing online can do for your business.
Have you ever thought that maybe there was more to life than what you have? Have you ever looked at other more fortunate people and said, "Why can't I have that?" Do you know that greater potential lies deep within you, which all you have to do is learn how to tap into it, and your life will improve, perhaps dramatically? Get ready for the Power to Create Your Life Radio, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, here on the Rockstar Radio Network. World-renowned author, speaker, and coach Michael Stevenson is an expert in how to use your entire mind, both conscious and subconscious, to live a happy, fulfilled, prosperous, and healthy life. Author of the book Unstuck, The Owner's Manual for Success, and creator of the live event The Power to Create Your Life Now, Michael has spent the last 14 years teaching people to tap into the vast resources you have available within you. Join Michael and his guests weekly for a fun, empowering way to start your week on The Power to Create Your Life Radio. Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, here on the Rockstar Radio Network.
And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you.
Welcome back to Act Local. Marketing for Small Business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Building on the marketing philosophy that we all have an inner warrior, part of us that demands we compete and win, that we defend our ideals, and that we take action to pursue what matters most. As a martial artist, she has lived her life by a certain code. These five words: perseverance, integrity, courtesy, self-control, and indomitable spirit. These are the foundation of her personal belief system and her corporate doctrine. And now let's return to Act Local and your host, Kaylin Amadio.
Welcome back. I'm Kaylin Amadio, and you are listening to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business. And I want to introduce my guest today. Please help me welcome at a very early... This is another one of those West Coast guests. I always feel guilty when I have a West Coast guest on because it's so terribly early for her. But please help me welcome Lori Hurley to the show. Lori has been an entrepreneur since 1998, having founded and operated three successful educational businesses. Consulting, mentoring, and coaching social media marketing is her passion. A dynamic in-person networker and sought-after speaker, Lori teaches you how to balance and complement your online marketing efforts with your face-to-face networking for maximum exposure to your target market and potential customers. Lori's clients are a mixture of newbie social media users, baby boomers, small business owners, direct salespeople, and entrepreneurs that want to overcome their overwhelm online and make social media easy. Recently, Lori partnered with a new startup called Rate Diary, an online reputation company based in Simi Valley, California. She is a firm believer that testimonials and managing your online reputation is a huge part of the social media universe, which can impact your business positively when it's used correctly. So, Lori, welcome to Act Local Marketing.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for having me at this early hour. But I'm a morning person, so you're lucky.
Oh, that's good. That makes me feel better. I understand. I got up at 5 a.m. East Coast time this morning because I'm one of those people that likes to get up early if I can stand it and get some things done. So that makes me feel not quite so bad. But every time I find out a guest is from the left coast instead of the right coast, I get very concerned. I feel bad that they had to get up so incredibly early. So thank you very much.
No problem.
Now, Lori, one of the things when I've not met a guest before, when I don't really know their story, I like to learn what their entrepreneurial journey was. And I know in the bio that I just shared with everyone that you've been an entrepreneur since 1998. But can you tell us a little bit about your journey as an entrepreneur to right here, right now?
Sure. I was in corporate America for about 20 years when I decided I was tired of reporting to someone else. I had my first child, and I retired and dove into the entrepreneurial universe. As you mentioned in my bio, I owned and operated and started three very busy educational companies, and I did that until about 3 years ago when I decided that I really needed to get on the social media bandwagon myself. I was doing well, but I could see social media was becoming huge. So I took a basic online class about social media, learned everything I possibly could. One thing led to another, and I found that I was really good at it. I really enjoyed it, and my friends started asking me, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? You know, I don't know how to do this, etc. And I decided, you know, why not monetize what I'm doing and form my company, the Social Networking Navigator, which is what I did. I took a huge leap of faith and sold one of the biggest business I had and closed the other two and started coaching people one-on-one. That grew into doing complete social media management for small businesses and some larger companies. And then I have a very active membership group online where I coach weekly, and we have a group of entrepreneurs over there that want to get their fix of social media once a week with some other cool stuff I add in. And for the past 3 years, that's what I've been doing.
Wow. It's People hear me say this every week, but I enjoy listening to these entrepreneurial stories because they're always common threads between them, which is, you know, understandable when you meet enough entrepreneurs, as I'm sure you have. There's a lot of variation of the same theme that goes on, you know, wanting to be your own boss and falling in love with something and wanting to learn as much as you can about it, and then just feeling the need to share it with other people. That's a very common thread. But I love hearing these stories. It's fascinating to me how people end up where they are, you know, and why they're studying what they're studying. Did you find that you liked social media because it was a social medium, for lack of a better word, or because you enjoy being a teacher of things?
I think it was a little bit of both. Way back when, in college, my very first year, I declared my major as in education, and then I ended up changing that. And I think that teaching thread I have in myself always came out somewhere, somehow, throughout my life. And this has been a great opportunity to really tap back into that and go back to what I originally was going to do back in my early years in college. So the teaching aspect is fabulous, but the whole social media thing, you know, amazes me. There's so much out there. I mean, even as a social media consultant, a content creator, I mean, it is overwhelming, and I think there's a lot of people that get so overwhelmed that they shut down and decide, oh, I'll do that tomorrow, I'll put my Facebook page up tomorrow, or I'll fix my LinkedIn profile next week. And my job, as it is today, is to help people sort it all out step by step and not dive into that sea overwhelm, but really keep them focused and take a look at their brand and their target market and figure out where they need to be. And it doesn't have to be everywhere. I mean, I think that's a big fallacy that you have to be on, you know, 7 social media sites actively. I mean, if you were, you would never get your work done. So the way that I help people is I help them find where their audience is, and that's where we go. We start slowly, and as they're ready to take on more, then, you know, I teach them more. But to answer your question, I love the teaching, and I think social media and all that's happening with it is just fascinating. I mean, it changes daily, so how can you not like that?
Right. No, you and I are in exactly the same boat. You know, for some people, something that changes daily is very scary, but I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I love it because it is constantly changing. So there's always something new to learn. And that's what I find inspiring about the whole thing. Now, it's true. You alluded to the fact that if you try and be everywhere, it's going to be a huge time commitment. It is a social media vacuum, I think is what you've called it. So do you have any best practices that you could share with people so that they don't end up getting sucked into that vacuum? Because I think that's one of the first hurdles they're going to find when they're trying to do this.
Yeah, I do. And one of them I already mentioned is, you know, don't feel the pressure to be everywhere. You know, figure out if it's just Facebook that you're into or Twitter, and if that's where your audience is, then go narrow and deep on those two social mediums. Learn everything you can and spend your time there. My second tip is have a time limit for how long you're going to be online actually doing your social media marketing, not visiting your friends and not, you know, chit-chatting and getting sucked into Pinterest for hours, which I know I'm guilty of. But, you know, when I work with my clients, I actually tell them to buy a timer and to set that timer for 35 minutes to have a plan of what they're going to do in those 35 minutes, do it, and when the timer goes off, walk away. I mean, literally get up and walk away, and because social media isn't going anywhere. You know, if you don't get that tweet up today, you can put it up tomorrow. It's not a big deal. So really scheduling your time, knowing where you're going to be, and learning everything you can about that social media site that you want to be on are my biggest tips, because they're simple. And my whole thing is social media should be simple. Don't make it complicated. and learn what you can, and don't overwhelm yourself, and have someone to help you, whether it's me or you or someone else. You know, have a coach or a mentor, and at the least have a virtual assistant to help you put some of your content out, but always create it yourself, as you alluded to in the first part of the show. It has to be in your voice. It has to be, even if your voice is being transferred to someone else, you have to be in control of it there, or it's not going to sound authentic, and then, you know, why do it? Because it's not really you.
Right. And then, and it's just going to confuse people if they can't identify you through your voice. And I know some people have a problem with that term voice if they're not writers or content creators. But everyone's read a book at some point in their life. And, you know, when you read a book, you really are hearing the voice of the character. And that's what we mean when we say voice.
Right.
Those entities, those characters, even though they might be make-believe, and that can be true of your brand or your business, you can think of it as a character, can have a voice. And once that voice is established, if suddenly the communication coming out of your brand has a different voice, it will confuse people online, because the only way they have to interpret is by reading, you know, what you're writing. So it's important to sort of
right.
get that down. I like the idea of having the timer too, because I'm as guilty as the next person who is deeply involved in social media of getting sucked in and spending way too much time. It's one of the pitfalls of using social media, even for experts. You know, you find yourself getting sucked in or trying to tidy things up or making sure everything's going along, or you end up talking to a friend. And I even have timers, but what I'm guilty of that I just heard you say, which is a great idea, is when the timer goes off, actually get up and walk away. That's the mistake I realize that I'm making. I don't always get up and walk away, Lori.
Yeah, and you know, and the other thing that I forgot to mention is when you're let's say you're working on Facebook posts, for example, I turn off my email. I turn everything else off. I close all my windows except for Facebook, because I don't know about you, but I see, oh, a new message came in. Oh, somebody, you know, there's 100 new tweets in my stream. I need to go look at those. I close all of those, and I just work on the platform that I'm on, and everything else goes down, because like everyone else, I have ADD. You know, I see it come up, I see it go here, oh, I gotta check, and you know, it can wait for 35 minutes. There's nothing that crucial, and if it were, you know, somebody would call me or text me, and that wouldn't even work because I turn my cell phone off and or leave it in the other room. But it's really important
right.
to be focused. You know, if you don't have that
right.
focus, it's just going to fall apart,
yeah,
and you waste
no,
time.
That's a very good idea, because I'm guilty of having all my tabs open. We're actually going to go to another mm-hmm. break. And when we get
okay.
back, we're going to have more with Lori Hurley about social media. And we're going to talk some more about, or we're going to get into talking about Rate Diary and reputation management.
And more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives them the power to bring their business to the next level. Kaylin returns after a short break with more strategies and techniques to develop your inner warrior. We'll be right back.
Once there was a smart baby boomer that loved her business. She knew that to grow it, she would need marketing. So she went for a search on the internet and came across all sorts of social media. She went on all the sites and opened accounts, but after starting profiles on all of them, she began to feel overwhelmed. To do all the marketing experts told her to do was just too big a task. She needed a change. Because she was a smart entrepreneur, she chose two of the popular social media sites to market her business. But after month, it didn't seem to make any difference, and she saw other savvy business owners using different sites here and blogging over there, when suddenly she noticed more clever baby boomers going to iKaylin.com and leaving so happy she just had to see for herself. iKaylin.com helped her make a marketing plan to grow her business that wasn't too big and wasn't too little. It was just right.
Are you fascinated by the stories behind the stories? The people behind their masks? The truth about people's failures and redemptions in both their business and personal lives? Then Off the Record Secrets Of with host Judy Schreiner is for you. It's people's secrets that make them interesting, but very few folks are willing to reveal them unless they trust that their information will be treated with accuracy, fairness, and respect.
People have been entrusting their secrets to longtime business journalist Judy Schreiner for the last 25 years. And now she's bringing her expertise and impressive contact list to Rockstar Radio Network. Tune in and call in as host Judy Schreiner talks to guests off the record as they reveal new secrets each Tuesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you.
Welcome back to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Building on the marketing philosophy that we all have an inner warrior, part of us that demands we compete and win, that we defend our ideals, and that we take action to pursue what matters most. As a martial artist, she has lived her life by a certain code. These five words: perseverance, integrity, courtesy, self-control, and indomitable spirit. These are the foundation of her personal belief system and her corporate doctrine. And now let's return to Act Local and your host, Kaylin Amadio.
Welcome back. I'm Kaylin Amadio, and you are listening to Act Local Marketing for Small Business with my guest today, Laurie Hurley. And she's way over there on the West Coast very early. Thank you, Laurie, for coming in so early. You can find out more about what we're going to talk about in the show. This segment is a company called Rate Diary, and you can find out more about them at ratediary.com. Before I ask you about Rate Diary, though, Hurley, I'd like you to tell us the ways that you work with clients. Can you give us an overview of the various ways that you work with clients and maybe explain the differences between them?
Sure. Number one, I do private one-on-one coaching with people. I find a lot of people don't like being in a group setting, and they'd rather just have my brain on their business for 60 minutes or whatever. I do that in person if the person is local, and if they're not, of course, with all of the technology we have these days, we can do it virtually. And, you know, it's very effective. I record every session if it is virtual so my client doesn't have to take notes, and then I send them the recording when we're done so they can refer back to it. So the private business is booming, and it's one of my favorite things to do. I also do social media management for different companies, from the small entrepreneur to a very large companies that are here locally in California. But again, I can do that with anybody. And that means I am curating their content, but I am staying in touch with them weekly. We have a 30-minute, what I call maintenance call, and they have unlimited email access to me, so I'm on top of what's going on in their business, and I'm, you know, making sure that the content that I put out there is reflective of their brand and their activities and all of the stuff that they might have coming up depending on what kind of company they are. So I do that, and then I have my Social Networking Made Simple membership group, which I alluded to earlier. That's where I coach once a week. I record a half an hour interactive video, so it's audio, visual. It's me talking, but you don't see me, and I'm moving around. Like this week, we're doing LinkedIn, or this month, we're doing LinkedIn. So I record a session on LinkedIn, send it out to all my members directly into their email box, and then we have a private group on Facebook for that, from a membership group where I coach daily. So if somebody has a question, whether it's about LinkedIn or anything else that pops into their brain, they can go ahead and post it in the secret group, and I will answer them usually within 12 hours. So it's a little community of almost all of them are, I don't want to use the word solopreneurs, but all of them work for themselves from home. Many are in direct sales, and others are just trying to get their company up and running and need to learn social media. They find this is a good forum for them, and I do that weekly. It's Social Networking Made Simple, and you can find it on my website, which is thesocialnetworkingnavigator.com. So those are the three ways that I help my clients navigate the social media universe.
Thanks. I didn't have the name of your other website. It's socialmedianavigator.com. Is that correct?
No, it's the social networkingnavigator.com.
Okay. Now I'm going to make sure I get it right. The social networkingnavigator.com.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. I want to make sure we get that right. The social networkingnavigator.com. All right. Very good. So tell me, give me an example of some of the types of maybe business niches or markets that you might find yourself helping people with social media? You mentioned that a lot of them are self-employed, but what kind of businesses are they in?
I have a lot of clients that are coaches, not in social media, obviously, but life coaches, business coaches, healers, a lot of people that are in the wellness arena that want to get the word out about what they can offer. And then I have, I have real estate agents. I have a dentist that has a very busy practice, but he's concerned about Obamacare and wants to keep his name in front of everybody. So we're working with him. I have a large dog breeding, I call it a farm. It's not a farm because that sounds really bad, but it's a dog breeder. They breed all of the golden retrievers for the Dog Whisperer and the Charmin commercials and Hollywood and all that kind of stuff. And they're a fabulous client because they're dogs and everybody loves puppies. So when I'm posting stuff for them, it's always visuals, and they have a lot of activity on their website. And then I just have people that have turned a hobby into a business, candle making, jewelry, stuff like that, and then direct salespeople. I mean, they have got to stand. They want to stand out from the crowd. If you're selling Mary Kay, there's a million other people selling Mary Kay, and the smart business person is going to want to know how they can differentiate themselves and really be seen. So I do work with direct salespeople on how to apply their social media, and they've been very successful. And that's kind of the capsule of what I can think of right now of the people that I work with.
Remember,
it's early out here.
Yeah, that's a great section. And you're right about the MLM companies. I mean, there are a gazillion, Shaklee reps and Mary Kay and Avon and I'm sure these different MLMs have different rules perhaps about what they're allowed to do in their own personal marketing, because there's some marketing that's built in to being part of that world that's given to them. But there's no better way to stand out than to really get a handle on how you can use online digital media, social networking, to really build your brand and build your offline network, your real life network. They're connected. We can't get away from it now. We have mobile devices, online, offline. It really doesn't matter anymore. Everybody is everywhere and they're all connected. And you got to get in front of people, and social media is a great way to get in front of people. And I'm sure that you can learn how through going through some of these different groups and programs that Laurie has, where she helps her clients. Now I want to talk about Rate Diary. I think we have time before we're going to go to another break. I know you've recently gotten involved as, I think, director of marketing at Rate Diary. Can you explain to us what Rate Diary is?
Rate Diary is an online reputation management service. I don't really want to put it in the same department as Yelp, but that's what everybody thinks of as Yelp, Angie's List, TripAdvisor. But Rate Diary is very, very different. Rate Diary does not filter reviews. So, you go on Yelp and you read, a poor review, and then you read like 10 great reviews, but that poor review sometimes stays up at the top. And Yelp has their own way of doing things, and I don't want to waste my time talking about them. But Rate Diary is different in that when you join Rate Diary, you are asking for reviews only from your paying customers. So it's not where anybody can go on and, let's just take a restaurant, for example. It's not where anyone can go into the restaurant and then go home and write a review on Rate Diary. You are actually handed a voucher when you pay your bill, and the owner or the waiter or whatever, whoever's trained to do this, asks, hey, would you like to give us a review? And in an exchange for leaving a review for the business, the customer is rewarded with what we call rate dollars, where the company puts some money into their little bank on the website, and the voucher is worth, $2, $3, $5, depending on the ticket item of the product. And the consumer would go home, they would go online to the company's portal within Rate Diary. Everybody has their own little website, and they would type in their review, and then they can leave a private message to the business if they want to. And once they hit submit, the owner gets that email, they verify the review, and then they can post it on their website, anywhere that they want, and in exchange, the consumer receives a Visa debit card that they can use anywhere for the dollar amount that the company chooses to give them for leaving a review.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, very different. It's ingenious, in my opinion, and that's why I decided to accept an outsourced position with them. I had no plans to do this, but I was hired to do their social media, and as I started doing it, the founder owner approached me and said, "Hey, can you do all of our marketing?" And I'm like, "Whoa, yeah, I'd love to, but I don't want to work for anybody." So we have an outsourced arrangement. I'm not an employee, but we're very connected, and the founder of the company actually has another business. This is something that he took 18 months off of his other business to get the website up and get the whole system running, and now he's back doing his other business and has Rate Diary also, so I'm kind of taking the lead on that. And it's a fabulous, fabulous service, and I really believe in it, especially for people that don't have a brick and mortar, like coaches and all those kinds of people. You still need reviews and testimonials, and this is a great, super way to get it because you're actually asking your clients to leave you a review, and who wouldn't want to? I mean, even if the review isn't good, you still want to get that feedback. If you're a good business person, you're going to want to know, what did I do wrong? Where did we drop the ball anywhere? And if you did, then you can fix it. And how would you know that if you didn't ask for feedback from your clients?
Right. So are the Rate Diary reviews, can I go look at a business's Rate Diary reviews?
Yes. It's just like Yelp, that they are posted online. I mean, I will tell you, we are just launching, so, you're not going to find a whole lot of them right at this moment. We have, I don't know how many businesses we have so far, but, we're not national yet. I mean, the whole business plan is to start local, to start small. That doesn't mean that if somebody hearing this podcast or is listening live isn't intrigued by Rate Diary that they couldn't join and start their Rate Diary reviews. Obviously, they absolutely can. But here locally, I'm doing live business seminars. I did one on Friday, 19 people. And of the 19 that were there, I believe 12 had actually signed up on the spot. It's a great system. And as you know, reviews and testimonials help your SEO and also just help your reputation. I mean, people want to know who they're dealing with these days. And I look at Yelp and I think, some of these might be fake. I mean, how do I know that this person really went there? Because it's wide open. Anybody can leave a review. But with Rate Diary, those reviews are targeted. They're actually customers. They're not just anybody who might have a grudge against you and decide to go on and slam you online. That's not how Rate Diary works at all, and that's why it's different. So,
Lori, we're actually going to go to another break, but stay with us. We will have more with Lori Hurley and Rate Diary when we get back right here on Act Local Marketing for Small Business.
More understanding and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the Internet gives them the power to bring their business to the next level. Kaylin returns after a short break with more strategies and techniques to develop your inner warrior. We'll be right back.
Get ready for Smart Health with your host, Dr. Glenn Mia. Friday afternoons at 2 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Smart Health is a one-hour program dedicated to discussions, interviews, and news in the ever-changing world of medicine. Information leads to smart choices, and smart choices lead to a healthier lifestyle. That's the quote of host and broadcast journalist, Dr. Glenn Mia, M.D. This magazine-style radio show is a fast-paced program bringing together medical experts, authors, and patients to examine what works and what doesn't in staying healthy. Dr. Glenn Mia is a board-certified physician in pediatrics and internal medicine. His philosophy to wellness starts with an investment. He says proper nutrition, rest, and exercise are the best personal investments to maintaining good health. So join us for Smart Health with Dr. Glenn Mia. Fridays at 2 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you.
Welcome back to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Building on the marketing philosophy that we all have an inner warrior, part of us that demands we compete and win, that we defend our ideals, and that we take action to pursue what matters most. As a martial artist, she has lived her life by a certain code. These five words: perseverance, integrity, courtesy, self-control, and indomitable spirit. These are the foundation of her personal belief system and her corporate doctrine. And now let's return to Act Local and your host, Kaylin Amadio.
Hey now, I'm Kaylin Amadio, and you are listening to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business with my guest today, Laurie Hurley, and we are talking about RateDiary.com, RateDiary.com, and Laurie is their director of marketing. We were just talking about what RateDiary is in relation to a Yelp or an Angie's List. It's a place where you can leave reviews of businesses, but more importantly, as a business owner, it's a place where you can make sure that your happy customers, and even I guess your unhappy customers, but preferably your happy customers, are leaving you testimonials and reviews. And Laurie brought up a really good point, several really good points about these other review sites. So we have the Googles of the world and Yelp and Angie's List, and people can go on there and leave reviews, and all of that stuff really, really matters in terms of your SEO. And I know we've talked about it here on the show before, and I've written blog posts about it, and it can get very detailed, and I don't want to necessarily dive into all those details, even though I love them, the geek that I am, but I love all that stuff. But the problem with that is that those reviews, they started out and they are meant for businesses that are what we call brick and mortar, businesses that have an actual physical location where your customer comes to you and engages in business with you for the most part. But what about all the small businesses in the United States that don't have a brick and mortar location? They're working out of their homes. They're providing services. Or they go to the client rather than the client come to them. It gets much harder to make sure that you have a business address online that Google or an Angie's List or a Yelp will allow you to claim as an actual business address so that people can leave reviews about you. And it sounds like RateDiary is able to solve this problem for us, or they've taken that into account. Would that be correct, Laurie?
Yeah, and let me give you an example for the audience that will make it, I think, very clear. Let's say you're a plumbing company, or an electrician, or, you know, a general contractor, you know, a very busy company, but who comes and knocks on your door and says, hey, I need a plumber, you know, or I need an electrician? People call you. So you send your service person out, and normally, you know, they do the work, and at the end of the job, they present you an invoice, because that's how most of these of the trades are trained by their owner. You know, you do the work, you give the customer an invoice. Well, when they hand, for, let's go back to the plumber, when that plumber fixes whatever it is that needs to be done in your home, they hand you the invoice, and what the business owner would do is they would provide their service people with a bunch of different vouchers for different dollar values. And let me say, you know, you set how much you want to give your customer. So if it's a huge job, like, you know, you're putting in pipes all over the place or whatever, and the job's like, you know, $1,000, you might reward your customer with a higher dollar amount in their voucher. Like maybe you're going to give them $50 in a voucher, which translates into a gift card. The point being, when you hand that client the bill, you also hand the voucher, and the person says, hey, you know, thank you for your service. We would love to hear about your experience. We'd love it if you'd write us a review. Right on the voucher, it tells them exactly how to do it. They go online and they write it, you know, type, type, type. The business owner receives that review immediately, and as I said earlier, they verify that it is, they can decide whether they want to put it up or not. I mean, if they're slamming the business owner needs to make a decision. Oh, my God, am I going to put this up and talk about it online, or am I going to keep this one to myself and call the client individually? But we're going to assume that it's a decent review for our example. So the owner now can post that review on their website and in their own RateDiary portal, but they can also copy that review and put it on Google Plus. They can put it on Pinterest. They can tweet it with a link to it. They can put it all over the social media universe because, number one, it's going to be great for their SEO, and number two, the RateDiary site itself is optimized to a point that, you know, you've type in plumber, New York City, if you're on RateDiary, your RateDiary reviews are going to show up in Google, like, immediately, just like they do with Yelp. So, you know, a couple points to be made here. Number one, you mentioned it, you know, a lot of service industries, they go to the client. Nobody's going to come and knock on your door. So you have a perfect opportunity to interact with them at the point of sale and hand them the voucher to fill out. And number two, once you get that review, put it everywhere. I mean, people love to read about other companies, and as the you know, as people start to get educated about RateDiary, they're going to learn that these are real reviews from real customers. They're not, you know, just fake stuff. It actually happened. And for a business, it's valuable information to help them, you know, either improve or to just tell their employees, wow, Bill, you went out on 5 service calls today and all of your reviews came back, you know, stellar, and, you know, you did a great job. You know, you can reward your employees or, you know, shout about them on Facebook or do whatever you're going to do, but it's much more of a personal transaction. And that doesn't mean restaurants can't use RateDiary or anywhere else, but for those businesses that more or less run our country sometimes, you know, as I mentioned, some of the big, you know, the car dealers, and you think of any business. When I'm driving around now because I'm involved with RateDiary, I keep a list of, oh, I've got to go there and I've got to go there, because all kinds of businesses could use this that one wouldn't think of. When I think of Yelp, I think of restaurants. I mean, that's what most people think about. But there's right. So many other things going on. Products that we use, services that we use, and for all those people in direct sales that are trying to make a living and want to, you know, delineate themselves and say, hey, I'm good because of A, B, C, and D, you get your, you know, you get your customers to fill these out, and the customer gets rewarded with whatever dollar amount you choose, and as a business, you're getting some valuable feedback. So it's a win-win is the way that I look at it, definitely a win-win for a business and a customer.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question, because you brought up a good point. The owner of the business, and this is one of the bones of contention often with a Yelp, because Yelp won't let you remove a review at all. They, you know,
right.
Their attitude
that
guy, is,
no, they won't.
Yeah, this person, somebody left a review and that's it. You know, whether it was true or not,
exactly.
Or whether it was good or not, as a business owner, you have no recourse. So at RateDiary,
right.
You're going to get to see the review first. You're going to get to decide whether or not you want to publish it, or if it was a bad review, now you know you have a customer service issue and that you need to talk to this customer. So let's say, for example, there was a bad review and you went, oh my God, I had no idea that this service call went poorly. And you get in touch with the customer, find out what the problem was, you work and make the problem right. Can you then have that customer go ask that customer to go back in and update their review and then publish it?
They can write a new review and get another voucher. So it's almost like a customer loyalty program, because if you, let's say your dollar amount is low, you know, your dollar sale is, you know, $20, and you don't want to give $10 on that because you're losing $10. But let's say you want to give $2, you know, so you give a $2 voucher and you get a bad review and you go, oh my God, you know, you decide whether you're going to post it. If you don't post it, you do exactly what you said. You talk to the client. You fix it. You rectify it. And then you say to them, hey, you know, when you use our service again, you know, we're going to give you another voucher, and we hope this time, you know, the review, you know, that you can write a good review for us. So and you do that. You follow through, you know, and they write another review. You give them another voucher. So now they've just accumulated more rate dollars in their account. But the point of what I think you're trying to say is, what if you do get a bad review? Do you post it? You know, that's up to the business. And, you know, if it were me and I got a bad review, just knowing the way that I am and knowing me as a person, I would post it and I would post my response. Because, you know, no one's perfect. And people like to see that, hey, there was a problem, but look what this person did. They fixed it and they acknowledged it. And it shows that you're not perfect. I mean, No one's perfect. Everyone's going to have blips in their business. There's ups and downs all the time. And I think a consumer really respects a business that isn't afraid to put something out there that might not be stellar, as long as they are addressing it and showing that they have satisfied the customer, they've apologized publicly, and they have done something about it. You know, that's just my opinion. And when I sign people up for Rate Diary, I have a big PowerPoint presentation, and I go through every step. But we talk about this and talk about what happens if you get a bad review. So it's up to the business owner. But then there's another point here. Let's say you have a problem client, and I don't know about you, but I have some high-maintenance clients. I mean, we all do.
Yes.
You have to
yes.
decide, do you want to give them a voucher? You don't have to give every customer a voucher. I mean, it's all controlled by the business owner. That's the whole thing. You control your online reputation. And if you know you have someone that no matter what you do, they are not going to be happy, would you give them a voucher? Well, you probably wouldn't.
That's a good point, because it takes all kinds of people to make the world go round, and that's true. Some people are never satisfied, no matter
they're
what you
happy.
Do for them. Yeah, they're never happy. So that's a good point. And I do agree with you about posting bad reviews, especially if you answer them right away and make it right away, so that the other people can see that you're proactive.
The thing with Rate Diary is it's an incentive for businesses to stay on top of their game. Because if you're a member of Rate Diary and you're handing out vouchers, you want those vouchers to come back, the reviews to come back very positively. And I think, especially if you have a staff, you know, if you are the plumbing company or the electrician, you gather everybody together and you tell them, hey, we have this new program. And it really motivates people to go out and do the best job that they can, because they want to get a good review. I mean, that's the way I look at it. And
yeah,
why not?
It's good from a management point of view, because you get to see how your personnel are coming across to your clients. So it's a really important internal, customer service, metric that you need to be aware of. Now, is there a cost to join Rate Diary?
There is a cost. It's on the website. However, for anybody listening to this live or later on the podcast, we have a special launch rate. And people can get that special launch rate by contacting me. So if I can give my contact information,
yes,
that would be great.
Please do. Yeah, we have, I think, just a minute left, so go ahead.
Okay. The best way is to go to, is to email me, which is Laurie, Laurie, at thesocialnetworkingnavigator.com. Or you can also call me, and I'm going to just give out my phone number. It's 805 498-9097. You can also visit the Rate Diary Facebook page and private message us. We're on Twitter under twitter.com/RateDiary. I monitor those hourly. So there's lots of ways to get in touch with me and get a hold of me, and I will do a private one-on-one presentation with whoever is interested, and I will give them our special launch rate, which is basically 50% of what you see on the site.
Wonderful. Laurie, we're actually at the end of the show. I can't believe it went by very fast. But thank you, Laurie Hurley and Rate Diary. And we will see you next week right here on Act Local Marketing for Small Business. Take care.
Monday morning marketing madness. Every week at the same time on Act Local. It will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. Act Local Marketing for Small Business.